So welcome to episode 16 of The Hello Show.
Isn't that amazing that we've done 16 episodes?
We haven't. We've done 15. But we cheated the episode numbers a bit.
Well,
we'll catch up at some point, so.
We're above 10.
Yeah.
I remember at least three of those.
Yeah.
So I'm happy almost Halloween, David. Do you guys celebrate Halloween over there?
We do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's good. It's one of my favorites. I love getting dressed up and becoming something else for a couple days.
Yeah.
It's either costumes or drinking, one of the two.
You're either going to become Ned Flanders or an alcoholic.
Right. Equal possibilities, I think, on a weekend like this.
Yeah, I think we have to link up that photo of you in the office as well.
Well, why not?
Yeah, so just check the notes, check the show notes for this episode, and the hilarious picture of Dave.
Catch me with a mustache.
So it's been 2 weeks since our last show.
Yeah.
Last week, we were talking about what was going to happen at this Apple event.
But and now we know.
Yeah. Do we really need to talk about it, though? I mean, it's been 2 weeks. All the...
Well, you got a PowerBook. You got a 12-inch PowerBook. What do you think of the little MacBook Air? Do you want one of those?
Sorry?
Do you want one of those?
I think it's neat. I'm not sure if I'd want one. I think just based on looking at the features and the specs, the new MacBook Airs are fantastic computers.
Really. Yeah, they look pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think if I was a big traveler, that's exactly what I would want.
Yeah. I went to the Apple store, and I took my 12-inch PowerBook with me. Mm-hmm. And because I don't care about people giving me weird looks, I pulled it out and did a size comparison photo between the 11.6 and my 12-inch. So I posted that on Twitter. I guess I'll have to link that up too.
Yeah. You should throw it on Flickr too. That way,
Yeah.
I don't know. I see your stuff more on Flickr than anything else.
Yeah.
So.
The basic gist is that it's the 12-inch PowerBook is slightly deeper, and slightly less wide than the MacBook Air. So I guess the area of the top is roughly the same. It would work out to be roughly the same.
How about weight? How do they feel?
There's only about 2 pounds difference, you know, not a lot.
Which is actually, you know, twice what the MacBook Air weighs.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I haven't taken a trip to the Apple store to check them out yet, but yeah. Next time I'm
another thing I did while I was there was I had a go on the new iPod Nano, just briefly. Mm-hmm.
What'd you think?
The main thing for me, I don't mind the somewhat ridiculous tap and hold on a dead spot on the screen to go back to the home thing, because there is another way to do that. To move back a menu on the iPod Nano, you swipe from left to right, so it's almost as if you're pushing the menu out of the way.
Mm.
But you can also do that to get back to the home screen when you're in a top level menu.
Mm.
So you I don't think that's an issue. I mean, right. I guess the tap and hold on a dead spot's a neat shortcut, but
yeah, it's not as intuitive as swiping.
No. And the other thing is the two fingers to rotate. It's uncomfortable.
Man, it's tricky. Sometimes you really have to do it twice.
Yeah. I think it would be far better. The idea I had was instead of using two fingers, you could use one finger and just draw a whole circle round on the screen to rotate it. So if you wanted to rotate it 90 degrees clockwise, you'd draw a whole circle with one finger right round the screen clockwise.
Because if you have giant fingers, that makes more sense than trying to squeeze your sausages on that screen.
Yeah. But anyway, I think that's pretty much covered everything.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there was the Sneak Peek of Lion and the Mac App Store and that kind of thing.
I think.
But I don't
know
if we know enough.
Yeah. I think they might hit the WWDC 2011 ship date for Lion.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
They've
missed the last couple of ship dates for previous versions of the OS, but I think now they're focusing back on the macOS. I just have a feeling. Because before it was because they were engineering constrained. They couldn't get enough engineers on the macOS to keep it on schedule.
Right. Well, because that's when they were first doing the iPhone, and so that's where all their energy was.
Yeah,
it'll be fun. I don't know if you saw, I think it was Nevin Morgan suggested that they make the menu bar at the top of Lion.
The only
black.
Reason I think they should do that is to match the new dock in the new dock menus in Snow Leopard.
Right. I like his point about the black kind of bezel that surrounds the new screen. I think that would look sharp.
Yeah.
It kind of disappears into the black glass at the top.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's better than that stupid transparent menu, which I turned off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stupid. Hey, you got mentioned on a blog we both enjoy.
Yeah. But we'll get to that. But
okay.
The main news of the week, the news that most people care about is BB Edit 9.6.
And you've got it?
Yeah, sure. Free update for existing BB Edit 9 owners.
Yeah. What's now this is 9.6?
9.6.
Yeah, what's different?
The main new feature is that they're syntax highlighting and the markup assistants now assist you in HTML5, the new tags, and CSS3, the new attributes.
Hmm.
There's a bunch of other stuff too, but that's the main one. And Zeldman had a great post kind of reviewing this. Have you even paid for BB Edit, or are you still on Text Wrangler?
No, I'm still on Text Wrangler. you know what? I don't want to hear it.
It's $125, which is, you know, for Mac software, that is expensive for Mac software, but it is a very well spent. If you're going to spend $125.
Right. You know what I'd rather spend it on is something like, now that I'm getting more into website stuff, is like Coda or something, you know, Panix.
Yeah.
Website editor. I'd rather spend the money on that.
One of the few things that irks me about BB Edit is that the FTP and SFTP browsers where you can do remote editing, they don't work at all like the disk browsers where it shows you a listing of all the files. Mm-hmm. You can just click on them to edit them. It's actually a separate window and you have to load them into a different editing window. It's pathetic. I think they need to change that.
Yeah.
Like most of the time now, I use the open in BB Edit feature in Transmit. I don't bother with the SFTP browser in BB Edit itself.
Yeah, I like Transmit so much that I think that's the way I do it too.
Yeah.
Speaking of Transmit, there was something that came across my RSS feed on Panic's blog about secret hidden features.
Weird. Yeah.
And then it was gone. It was gone off the blog.
Well, even the post wasn't finished.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like somebody hit public.
I think it was accidentally put up there and sneak peek of a future Panic blog post.
Right.
So keep your eyes
peeled. But they showed you how to change the little icons on your different connections.
Yeah.
And so I took that right away and started doing that. You know, I put little icons and then I did a write up on Newton Poetry about, you know, where to get some cool classic Mac icons at the Icon Factory, and then I go to link back to that blog post, and the blog post's gone. I couldn't find it. So I'll have to wait for them to finish that before I post it. But I found a cool, like, eMade and MessagePad icon, and, you know, so I've got my Newton Poetry icon as those, and I don't know. It's silly, but it's fun.
Yeah.
But we, I guess we'll just stay tuned until until the guys over at Panic finishes that blog post.
So what's in what Twitter client do you use on the Mac? I know last week we talked about iPhone.
Twitterific.
Oh yeah.
And you said you hated it.
Yeah, I think they've just from that sneak peek they put up of Twitterific 4, I think I might like that a lot.
Really?
Yeah, they've just made the main irk for me about Twitterific was always that the new tweet was like in iChat or basically any instant message client. The new tweet bar was like a text field at the bottom of the reading window.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's a separate window, like in Tweety.
Mm.
So I think I prefer it as a separate window. So I think I, you know, possibly you might see me switching.
Right. It kind of bugs me that whatever tweet you click on, that's where it kind of saves the refresh point at. So anything that refreshes beyond that, it goes above it. So you kind of have to scroll above wherever you were looking last. And sometimes I don't click on a tweet for days. And so, you know, I've got a lot of scrolling to do before I catch up. And I don't know how I would like it different, but maybe just automatically take me to the top and then I could just scroll down and see what I missed.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that bugs me. Otherwise, it's fine. So. Can we talk about your little project now? Is that cool? Because, man, I hadn't even thought of this. I usually do something silly like view source or whatever. But between you and John Gruber, you came up with this neat little, I don't know. How do you explain it? Oh, David? The project I'm referring to, David, he wrote an Apple script that actually slurps down. Like if you go to a web page in Safari and you want to steal all the code from that. So you want to take all the HTML, all the CSS, all the JavaScripts. You want to take all the code for those. It used to be that you had to, you know, like view source or go to the resource finder in whatever browser you were using. But David, modify John Gruber's Apple script that actually whatever frontmost window you have in Safari, if you activate the Apple script, it'll launch whatever text editor. I think they set it to BB Edit, but you can also use Text Wrangler. But all that code will appear in a new BB Edit text file, which I thought was pretty handy. And John Gruber of Daring Fireball, he made his back in 2003, something like that.
Yeah, 2003. I'm back
right. Hey, welcome back.
Sorry, family interruption.
Right. Anyway, John Gruber wrote this Apple script back in 2003. David, you take it away from here. David. Folks, this is what happens when you try to record a live podcast across the Atlantic with David in Northern England.
And sorry about that.
Myself in mid-Michigan.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Sometimes the internet tubes that go underwater, they get hit by crabs and whales of various species. And
yeah, okay. So where were we?
Well, I was just saying that, you know, John Gruber wrote this.
Yeah,
Apple
script okay, got it. So, Gruber wrote the script back in 2003 to basically grab the source of the frontmost Safari window and open it in a new BB Edit document. So one of the features of a Safari extension, I think it's called Better Source. Better Source is that you can view the generated source of a page. That is after any JavaScript has fiddled with the page content, say from an AJAX event or whatever. So because I've used this view source in BB Edit script for a while, I wondered if I could do that with an Apple script. And it turns out that Safari has a do JavaScript Apple script event, which you can call, and it will basically return what that JavaScript would return translated into an Apple script object. If this sounds like I'm speaking in tongues, then just go do something else for a minute. So I worked out how to get the generated source for a page using some weird property of the document element in JavaScript, and then just subbed in get source from Safari to get JavaScript doc, I forget what it is, window document HTML, outer HTML, something like that. And that apparently is enough to get you a mention on Daring Fireball. So I changed two lines of the script, and that got me a mention. So
now, what are the benefits of using the Apple script instead of the Safari extension? Are there any?
The fact that it opens in BBEdit instead of in Safari.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So it's generating a new text file. That's the benefit. Damn it, David. You keep disappearing on me like this with no warning. Folks, this is what happens when you're an overpaid podcast producer like Mr. David Kendall.
Overpaid.
He's mentioned on Daring Fireball once, and it goes straight to his
head. Yeah, I'm now sitting on millions of pounds in cash. Literally, I keep £1 million under my bed just in case.
Right.
That's just that's just the tip of my fortune now.
Like Uncle Scrooge.
Yeah.
Diving into your money bank. So, but you know, I thought it was cool. I mean, you know, yeah. one of my goals always as a blogger is to get mentioned by somebody else that I respect, and you know, yeah. like the rest of the Mac community, we respect John Gruber during Fireball a lot. And there's Mr. Kendall mentioned right there in the linked list.
Yeah.
So congratulations, that's cool.
Yeah. It's not really that much of a deal. I changed two lines of an Apple script, Dave.
Right. Well,
two lines.
I never even knew about it, but it's handy to me as I'm learning all this stuff to, you know, I'll automatically slurp down all that code.
Yeah.
It's pretty handy. So now I set it up as like a little application that I double click and it asks me, do I want to open it up? And I say yes, and then it opens up, and that's it.
Oh, you did that with the Automator?
Yes.
Where you can put it, you paste in the Apple script.
Right.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. I just use it from the script menu with the script editor.
Mm. And I was exploring some things where you can set up Apple scripts as services. I'm looking at that too. You know, that way I can just right-click something.
Yeah, I like that. I know you can do that with Automator, but I still use this service for that.
Hmm. I think that's the one I heard about, yeah, when I was doing my research.
This service?
Yeah,
that's basically, it takes any Apple script or Unix-based script. Basically, if you can pipe a standard input to it, then and it produces some kind of standard output, then it'll work.
Right.
And then that just basically it sets that script up as a service that you can access by selecting some text in, say, BBEdit, and then going to the services menu and clicking that thing or using a keyboard shortcut.
Right.
Like I have one, an Apple script setup called Educate Quotes, which uses BBEdit's Educate Quotes feature, but just makes it system-wide. And I use that on all my tweets.
Hmm. Well, I even gave your the little application with your Apple script deal its own icon. So it looks like an application and everything. Do you ever play around with your icons? You change them?
Not a lot, no. I changed my iTunes 10 icon back to the old iTunes 9 one. Does that count?
Right. Yeah, I guess. Because that's about all I've done too.
Yeah.
You know, I have a USB drive that I carry around. I changed that.
I like that the Mac makes that so easy, where you can just you know, get info on two things and switch the icons.
Right, copy and paste. Yeah. But I never did that until I saw that Panic blog post that disappeared where they, you know, they show you how to change your icons on Transmit. I thought, well, you know, I'm going to try this with, you know, with David's little Apple script deal. And it was so easy that, but then I worry about like, all right, you don't need to change every icon. You just, you know, you don't need to go crazy here. Yeah. Make things unrecognizable.
My main problem is I'm so terrible at Photoshop that I can't design my own icons.
Yeah. But they, you know, Icon Factory, they offer a lot of free ones that are pretty cool. The Aqua.
I don't need to know any of this. I'm chilling off my ears now. I don't want
to. I don't
want this to turn into an unhealthy obsession.
Right. Yeah, it can get out of hand for some people. Like, you know, you see screenshots of people's desktop where they have a unique icon for their hard drive and all their external drives. And
yeah.
I don't know. I like the classic ones just fine.
Yeah.
I really like them under the classic Mac, like OS 8, OS 9, that hard drive.
Mm.
It's not as realistic as the OS 10 ones, but I don't know. I like the looks of them. So you're famous. That's the point of this whole thing.
Not a lot. Did you also try the thing that I made, where you can open tabs in Safari on your iPhone?
I saw your video on that, which was really well done, by the way. But no, I would have to come up with a use for that, like if I needed to do
that. Well, my use for it, the reason I created it is that often at night when I'm, you know, just getting ready to go to bed, and I've got a bunch of tabs open in Safari that I've been meaning to read.
When you're sleeping on all your money.
Yeah. But, you know, I figure I may as well just open these on the iPhone and read them in bed, but it's a pain to have to. What I used to do was put them all into Instapaper and then read them in Instapaper. Now I just use this thing and read them on the iPhone in bed.
Yeah. Well, this is where it takes, all your open tabs in Safari on the Mac.
Yeah.
And opens them on your iPhone.
Yeah, opens them in mobile Safari on the iPhone.
With a little bookmark thing.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat. And it's funny to see, if you watch David's video, which he has posted over at his site, like each tab pops open and the little dialogue box says, you know, allow this pop up, and you
click each one. I couldn't figure out a way to work around the need to disable the iPhone pop-up blocker, but at least it doesn't just automatically open all pop-ups.
Yeah,
actually ask you first, which would be nice to have on the Mac.
Right.
That might turn off pop-up blocking if it did that.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you could be aware of what sites are trying to send a pop-up window your way. You know, and then you can find out which sites to avoid or whatever. Yeah, that would be nice. But anyway, as you're doing it, it looks like a video game, like Whack-A-Mole, where you're pressing the button as each one comes up, and it, I don't know, it looks kind of funny. So are you using the iPhone emulator to capture that as it goes?
I'm sorry, what was that?
You rich people. the iPhone emulator, is that what you're using to capture all that on video?
Yeah, the iPhone simulator from the SDK.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
And there's an app from Lauren Brichter. You know that guy? The guy who did Tweety and now does Twitter for iPhone?
Right.
There's an app from him called SimFinger, which makes it easier to create the much more realistic screencasts from the iPhone simulator.
Hmm. Now, what's doing is that the one?
It replaces the mouse cursor with that little circle blob thing.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Puts it on a white background, puts the iPhone 4 frame around it.
And you go to town.
I used a Snaps Pro 10, Snaps Pro X. Yeah. I just downloaded the trial of that because just one video.
Right. And the font you're using. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's great. was well done. And what's the song that you play? That was pretty cool.
It's the theme tune from 633 Squadron.
Hmm.
You ever seen that film?
No, I don't. Oh,
that's a great film.
But it's very very epic. It's like you're really getting something
what's
done.
What's great about I like about that piece is that it's 633 Squadron, and this is kind of technical thing, but it has a bar of 6/8. It's just this is just again and again and again. A bar of 6/8, then two bars of 3/4. So it's 6/3/3.
Follows out.
Yeah, really clever.
Neat. That was well done. Gosh, I really haven't had a whole lot of projects I've been working on. I had a website idea.
Yeah.
We,
Frontispiece.
The local paper. Yeah. Alpha
coming on Wednesday or Friday next week, probably.
Now, alpha means, you wouldn't give this to your grandmother.
Yeah, very early pre-release. Although it probably is stable. I mean, I actually run my website on it right now, so. Right. Yeah. It doesn't blow up.
That's the true test.
Yeah.
If you're willing to trust your own website to your system.
Yeah. Sorry, Dave. I've got to go. We've got half an hour. I've only got.
Man, you've got a trip to make. Yeah, where are you going?
I'm going to the Guardian offices, the offices of the Guardian newspaper, for a hack weekend called Rewired State Carbon and Energy. If anybody's in, if it's probably going to be too late if you're listening to the recorded version, but if you're listening live and you live in the London area, which, you know, sensible people living in the London area are asleep in bed now instead of listening to us. But if you are, then I'll probably be presenting on Sunday around between 2 and 4 o'clock. I think is when the presentation starts. But just go to rewiredstate.org and all one word, rewiredstate.org, and you can find out about it.
What Mac are you taking?
I could take the Mac Mini and a screen and, you know, everything. No, I'm taking the PowerBook.
Cool. That's neat. Then everybody will ask, is that the MacBook Air? You'll say no. It's not an Air.
Sorry? No.
Is that everybody will...
Yeah. No. Yeah. I think people know. I think people are...
You're way more retro than that.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, sir. We'll have a good trip.
Yeah.
All right.
Might take the Apple Extended Keyboard, too.
Clickety-clack.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Right.
And happy Halloween.
I guess if you're British, then it might have been November the 5th by the time we get this out.
Right.
So, we'll see you when we next go on the air.
All right. Have fun.
Bye.